It is now the Thursday, July 7th, 2022 Public Safety Committee meeting. And with us today we have Alderman Tarulis, Alderman Merrick, Alderman Soling is on Zoom, Chief Jensen, and Merrillis, our notes taker. And so we will start with citizens' comments. And I don't see anyone here. Is there anyone on Zoom?
Nobody on Zoom.
Okay, well then I will consider that closed. And we'll move on to minutes for corrections or approval from the May 17th, 2022 meeting. Does anyone have any additions, corrections, deletions to the minutes from our last Public Safety Committee meeting?
Can't dispute a word of it.
That's fine. I trust that captured what you discussed.
So those will be accepted as presented. And then we will move on to new business. PS 2022-18, the monthly report review for April and then May of 2022.
Awesome. So just start off going over each report. Our employees, the difference in our sworn officers from 32 to 31 is the loss of Officer Jekka in our April monthly report. He went to Plainfield. Just to kind of give you guys a quick update on that, we had two people pass their psychological. I'm still waiting for the medical results of the medical exam. Once we get that, we are looking to, they have a conditional offer now pending successful completion of the medical and psych. Once I get results back from the medical, then we will do the official offer and have them sworn in and begin. One is already certified and the other one is gonna be going to the academy in mid-August. Both great kids, so we're pretty excited about that. As far as the overtime goes for that month, of the 86.25 hours, 71.5 were reimbursed through HIDA, CPAT, and CIT. Just a couple community policing initiatives. One of the Facebook posts that we did is our high school intern, Haley Hill. She ended up doing a full internship with us. She was only supposed to be one semester. She did a full year. The school allowed her to do that. Great kid, just a super, super kid. We had a really good experience with her. I wish all interns were like that. She's actually was gonna try to go into the military like her father and be in security forces. However, since the internship, she's told us she doesn't want to go and she wants to be a Yorkville cop. Her dad tested with us and he is on our list. So he was in the military.
How old is dad?
He's a little bit older, but he's allowed to test because by statute, if you have the years that you have in the military, you can go past the age limit of 35 because you can't test. There's an age restriction when you're 35 and older, but the military allows him to do that. So I just thought it was kind of a cool thing that she had such a good experience and her dad actually tested with us. And he's a super nice guy. We did a prescription drug take-back program, one of the other highlights. You see a picture of our three guys with their red helmets on. I can tell you that we have officers over at that building every single day walking through and seeing it. So if you guys want to take a tour of the police side of things, just let me know. We'll walk you through. The second floor and third floor are drywalled and taped and almost 100% mudded. And then the first floor, they're starting to drywall already. Most of the walls are up, so it's getting real now.
They got the light fixtures down. The last time I saw a ComEd wouldn't let them take it down.
Yeah. I don't know if they're all down yet. I don't think the boardroom is all down yet. But they had to wait, apparently, for ComEd to come out and take them down because ComEd had to see them up in the ceiling because other people, and apparently in previous jobs, will bring in extra lights even though they weren't in there for that, and they get credit for stuff that they shouldn't have gotten credit for. So as far as our training hours for the month of April, we had 444. We had a total of 39 crashes, excluding private property crashes. Thursday for both the month of April and May were the hot day. We had 7 directed patrols. We had 14 total stops on McHugh Road, primarily for speeding. And then again, Route 47, Route 71, we had 102 contacts on 47 and 100 contacts on Route 71. Route 47 is kind of odd, though. Speeding was 49, 48 warnings with one citation and 33 warnings for non-moving violations, which was kind of odd, kind of different. than what we've typically seen. Route 71 of the 88 stops, or I'm sorry, for speeding, the 88 speeding ones, we had 81 warnings and 7 citations, and we had 12 non-moving violations on 71 as well. To our directed patrol detail data, our top three were, first one was Route 34. We had 42 details for a total hours, or total time of 96 hours, just over 96 hours. Route 47, we had 39 details for 91 hours. And Route 71, we had 35 details for 62 hours. So as you can see, we're still spending a ton of time on the main highways. I drove it today, and I'm in my gray unmarked, and I had two cars flying by me every bit of 80 miles an hour, you know, in there. So as much as we're out there, you know, are we curtailing the speed? You hope so. But it's just pretty difficult. Speed trailer deployment, we've had our message board out at 4 different locations. And if you look at our portable speed sign results, at Salmonac Street in Fremont, the average speed was 23.8. Salmonac Street eastbound is 21.9. John Street westbound is 20.2. And John Street eastbound is 26.1. So those are all areas we had complaints of vehicles that are flying, you know, down the road. Those are our studies. So Salmonac westbound was April 1st through April 9th. And that's the day. So they collected several days worth of data, not just one day during the week or one day during the weekend. And then you had Salmonac Street and Fremont eastbound was April 9th through 27th. And then John Street westbound was 4-1 through 4-9, and then 4-9 through 4-27 for eastbound as well. Poplar Drive at Flint Creek northbound was 16.4 miles an hour, which was our average speed. And then our Walsh Drive was 20.4 miles an hour. Our monitor patrol areas, we did send a couple of courtesy notices for speeding. And then if you look at our traffic enforcement, our citations were up 47 for the entire month. Most of them were other moving violations. We were up 28 of the 47 were other moving violations. Again, which is just kind of odd because that's not very typical. It's usually speeding, which is the big one. And our warnings, we were up 248. For miscellaneous parking violations, we were up 129, and then speeding, we were up 154 total. So the guys and gals are definitely not shy about running traffic. And then the cases assigned, currently our detectives for the month of April had 13. They are currently carrying anywhere between 10 and 15 cases per detective. So one detective has 15, one detective I think has 11. But I think the overall average they gave me was 10 to 15 per. Some of the biggest increases for April was our sex offender. We had 16 sex offender registrations, and we also had background investigations. We had 16 doing the new hires. They're just so crazy busy on backgrounds, and you know, they, for a good background, it takes about 40 hours per background, which is kind of crazy. So they've been extremely busy. Pat's done a really nice job. Looking at our overall reports, we were up from April of last year to April of this year. We're up 28. Our projected total is actually going to be down, though. Projected total is just under 3,000, where in 2021 our total was 3,285. So if we continue on the same road with what we're doing, we should see a decrease in our overall reports. We should see a decrease in our Part 1 and Part 2 crimes as well on the next page. Projected for Part 1 crimes, 156, and we had 235 in 2021 and 240 in 2021 with 363. Quite a big difference in there. Our crisis intervention calls, we're averaging in 2021 for the mental health crisis intervention calls 12 a month. In April, we had 8. So, and then our general calls for service, you know, we are up 221, I'm sorry, not calls for service, incidents. So the increase you're going to see is significantly, mostly because of traffic. We're doing a lot more traffic. Incidents cover everything. And then our, you know, squad operation for, you know, maintenance costs, we were down in overall maintenance costs. We were obviously up in overall gallons and gasoline expenses, and our mileage was up as well. So the cost of gasoline, you're going to continue to see that spike. Questions on April?
When are you going over budget on the gas?
not yet.
Yeah.
We're only 1 month into it, really. Actually, that cost was April of this. So was this last budget, FY22.
Okay.
So we're only a month into, 2 months into our FY23 budget. So.
He did say questions about the April report, and you just were all
about. Am I over for FY22? Oh yeah. Probably close to $9,000 over in gas. But we did up our overall gas. I think we raised our gas budget. Oh boy, I don't have a specific total, but it was raised significantly. I think we were planning $5.25 per gallon of gas. So crazy. So the month of May, overtime again of the 102 hours, 59.5 were hired at CPAT. Some of the community policing initiatives. It was Autism Awareness Month, so we went out and had bags that we packed for a lot of the autistic kids we have in town. A lot of them are registered CAR program participants. We also did something a little different, Dan, and I don't know if you've seen this or not in the courthouse, but we primarily relied on the health department to do interviews for our victims of child sexual assault. And we are now working with the state's attorney and the health department. We have trained detectives from each agency, so we shouldn't have to wait as long to get an interview done. So Pat McMahon was one of the people in our agency that we trained up to conduct the victim-sensitive interviews, VSIs. So hopefully those interviews come much quicker instead of waiting sometimes a week or a week and a half when we can get in and have to fight with other agencies. We also had two people graduate with their degrees. Alex Roble, he's one of our CSOs. He graduated from Roy University. And then Bear Fitzemeyer got his bachelor's degree from University of Arizona. He's going to be working on his master's degree. So I think that was kind of cool. Let's see. Obviously, you're going to see a lot. It seems like the dog adoption, lost dogs, and ducks. I think we had two saves of ducks. Family ducks. It just amazes me how many people actually they comment on the animals a lot more than they comment on people posts. So 381 hours for the month of May for training, going through the traffic complaints and the enforcement again, Route 34, Route 47. We had 111 total stops on 34, 120 on Route 47, and Route 71 had 95. Route 71 was the highest. We had 31 details. Route 34, we had 36 details, just under 86 hours. Route 47, we had just under 84 hours with 36 number of details. And then Route 71, we had 31 details with 63, just over 63. And then there's portable speed signs again that we had adjusted and taken to different areas. And you'll see the average speed in Poplar and Flint. North and southbound is definitely under 30 miles an hour. When we take these signs, we put the signs based on complaints that we get from residents about people speeding. And so a lot of times people say these cars are flying. And I get people actually believe that the cars are flying. But when you really get out there and you do their, you put the speed signs up, you find they're not going as fast. And that's kind of what we're finding. Going over to our traffic enforcement, we were up 40 from May of last year to May of this year. And we were up 102 warnings. So 40 citations we were up. The biggest increase, actually pretty much the same, 20 speeding citations and 19 no insurance tickets. So that was the increase. And then there was also one in the other moving violations. And then our warnings were up 109, and they were for speeding. One of the cases we want to highlight was our detective squad had. We had a aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, armed violence, aggravated reckless driving. It started out as a domestic situation between boyfriend-girlfriend. And the actual current boyfriend, so maybe they were ex-boyfriend-girlfriend, the current boyfriend then shows up, gets into it with a guy, they have words exchanged, both are affiliated with gangs, the person then takes his car, goes head on with this guy who now happens to be on the bumper and the hood of the car, and drives right through a garage door and right through the interior wall of the garage over in the place. He is alive, sustained a pretty bad leg fracture, but just a crazy, crazy night. And then, of course, there were people that were just came out of the woodwork, and there was almost a riot in the parking lot. It was absolutely crazy.
He called me from the jail.
What's that?
He called me from the jail.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he got someone else.
Boy, it was a little rough. So, going on to cases, crime reporting, our average per month for our total reports is 274. We're averaging right now 258. That's part of the reason you're going to see a reduction in overall reports. Hopefully, if things continue, you never know how things go. And our part one and part two crimes, we averaged 20 per month. For part one crimes, we're at 14 now. And for part two crimes, we're averaging 31. Last year, we are at 23 now. Again, why we're going to hopefully see a reduction in some of those. Our overall mental health calls for May of 2022, we were down 5 from the previous year in our crisis intervention calls, and we were down 5 in voluntary committals. So hopefully those calls continue to go down. You're going to see our patrol arrests. We average from in 2021 about 36 a month. We are averaging right now 32 a month, so it'd be nice to see the arrest numbers go down. But our overall calls for service, we are up again 276 in the month of May. So our monthly average right now is 1,151, with a projected total of 13,812, which is going to be just over $400 more than what we did the previous year. So again, a lot of it's towards the traffic stops. You're seeing a significant increase in traffic. And our monthly mileage, we're up from May to May, just over 3,800 miles. Our gasoline expense was up 3,700. Our gallons of gasoline were up 208, but our overall maintenance expense was down, and that's largely associated to the newer vehicles we're getting. The Chevys they're rough in the summertime with the air compressors and things like that. So as we get new vehicles coming in, and I still don't know when those new cars are supposed to be here. So we still reach out to Richie at Morrow Brothers all the time. We're waiting for our 3. We're on the list. We're hoping we're going to get them in July. Everybody's waiting. So, and that's it for the monthly report.
Any questions?
No.
No? Craig?
He's shaking his head no.
Oh, okay. He gives thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
We'll move on to PS 2022-19, adjudication reports for May and June.
So the a couple of them, if I'm just going through the docket, alcohol is sale to minors. You're going to see a couple of those were just the hearings that we had on the two additional businesses that failed. Cruising over to the docket on 523, illegal parking in a handicap zone, obstructing sidewalks, and dumpster stored in roadway. That all happens to do with the same residence on Honeysuckle. Actually, the bottom two were Honeysuckle. The other one was handicap parking in Marketplace. We're getting some complaints of vehicles parking in handicaps, so we've been trying to monitor that a little bit more. We try to give the warnings to everybody, but sometimes tickets are deserved. As far as the Honeysuckle goes, continuous complaints, although knock on wood, they have been better. We haven't got as many complaints, but he had a big old dumpster in a roadway because he was cleaning up stuff, and then he put it in his front yard, and so it was just, it's been a mess over there. The city is working with them. As far as the other ones going for the 6-1 and 6-6, very typical, your impounded vehicles, dogs running at large, possession of tobacco by a minor. So nothing out of the ordinary there. When you get to docket 613, you're going to see unauthorized tampering, unlawful continuance, work commencing before permit, property maintenance. That all has to do with the Honeysuckle address again, and that's all written by building and zoning there. And again, the city's working with them. Bart and his team are working with them. And then if you go to 627, you're going to see a lot of weed citations and a lot of them were dismissed pre-hearing compliance. So questions on that?
I had some questions.
What you got?
These citations that are written to the middle school kids for possession of tobacco.
Yes.
Are those entered into leads?
No.
Okay. And what about the cannabis charges? Do those go into the leads?
These are all ordinance tickets. They do not go into leads.
Okay.
Nope.
Good. Thank you.
Perfect.
That was in the paper the other day, and it caused a big hubbub about kids getting tickets and then, you know, ended up having criminal records because of it. So,
no.
All right.
No. Our ordinance tickets, they are strictly civil violations in here. They are not, their kids aren't getting arrested. They're not state citations. We're not booking kids, anything like that. So,
good. Thank you. Any questions on the adjudication reports?
None.
Not from here.
And we'll move to the final item of new business, PS 2022-20, the IL-EPA EAP accreditation.
So, starting about the end of July, Ray is on vacation this week. He's back for 3 days next week, and then he goes on vacation, for another week. So we're going to be starting the Illinois accreditation process for the police department. The standards are considered foundational for contemporary law enforcement agencies and provide the framework for addressing high-risk issues and situations in law enforcement. In the packet that you have, there are benefits of state accreditation. There are several benefits for state and frankly, national accreditation. It's really best practice in law enforcement, and the hope is that as we are doing things and updating our policies, and I'm going to talk about that in a second, we are following best practice standards in law enforcement. We're doing the things we are supposed to be doing. When you talk about the police reform bill and part of the statutes that were coming out with response to resistance or use of force and the reporting requirements and the review process and all that, we've been doing that stuff for 3 years since I've been here, and we're doing it before that, you know, when Rich was here. So you're finding a lot of police agencies, we're already doing a lot of the stuff that they're trying to mandate under the Police Reform Act. Accreditation just verifies that. And so you have a set of standards, or you have a standard that comes out, and then you basically include that standard into your general orders and your general operating procedures. And then, so the policy says we do it, and then we have to prove that we do it, and that's where the proofs come in. So, when you look at the different standards in the ILEAP state accreditation, we are going to be looking at Tier 2 accreditation, which is 181 compliance standards. So there's going to be 181 standards that we have to abide by. We have to, number one, put it into policy, and then number two, show and prove that we do what the policy says we are doing, and that's what, the proofs of compliance. Our policies currently are written to nationally accredited standards through CALEA, the Commission on Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies. The agency I came from prior to was a nationally accredited police agency. We cannot, national accreditation is extremely expensive. Our facility here would not allow us to do it based on certain standards and evidence, certain standards and holding, certain standards and interview rooms. Our facility physically restricted us for doing this. Knowing that we have this new facility, how it's designed, and it's being built to accreditation standards, that's why we're starting at the end of July. So when we move into this building, Ray is going to have a year to make sure that our policies are up to ILEAP standards, which they should be, because our policies, I took them from three different accredited agencies and then developed them, stealing a lot of other agencies' stuff, right? For the City of Yorkville Police Department. So our current policies are written to nationally accredited standards, so I'm hoping we're not going to have a lot to do specific to state accreditation with certain standards that are in there. So there's total Illinois accredited agencies, there's 48. There's only 22 states in our country that actually have state accreditation programs. Mm-hmm. And there's only one law enforcement agency right now in Kendall County that's accredited. And that's national accreditation, that's Oswego. I believe Kendall has a accreditation through a national body for their jail, but I know their field operations is not accredited there. So the total cost for Tier 2 accreditation is going to be $800 annually. I'm going to absorb that in our current budget. Actually, in FY22, I budgeted for that. So it is in our current budget. It's $800 a year, so it's going to be $3,200. $3,200 total for over a four-year period of time, and then at the end of the cycle, that's when they come out and they actually visit the site, they do interviews, they verify you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and then we would get reaccreditation every 4 years. It sounds like that's the cycle period. So the only additional cost that would be associated with this are increased costs for Power DMS. There's a module with Power DMS that deals with state accreditation. I'm absorbing that in our current operating budget. We're just reallocating money in a specific line item in our budget because this is more important than what we originally were wanting. And then for future costs in there, what I will probably do is look to the IMRF grant to help fund the Power DMS fund of their side of things. It's a grant we get. Actually, the city gets it through our insurance carrier. We get X amount of dollars, and then we apply for it internally here, and that can help pay for the cost of any Power DMS modules that we have to have for this accreditation. So that's our goal. My goal is to get this done in 1.5 to 2 years max. Now, if it takes a little bit longer, We have 3 years to get it done. So when we do it, we just need to do it right. So, questions on accreditation?
No. I had one out of curiosity. I think I saw something in there, but one of the standards is the United Nations.
Yes.
I'm just curious, what do we get from the United Nations?
So it has more to do with, and I forget the official term, but it's people that live in another country that are in the United States, in Yorkville, and then Consular, I forget the term, Siever, like Consular Notification. So they have certain rights that they are allowed based on the country that they live in. There's certain things we are not able or enforce or arrest here. There's certain standards that we would follow. So if we arrest Jim Jensen, as an example, and I happen to be from another country, we would reach out to the consular's office. Right. The consular would send a representative from that particular country to represent that person.
Makes sense.
I got to call the embassy.
Yes. So
I'm good.
Awesome.
I don't have any questions.
That's all I got, gentlemen.
Craig, any questions? No? I guess we move on to old business. Any old business? No?
No.
Any additional business?
Just whether or not you've received any inquiries on speed measuring in Whispering Meadows.
Have not. I have to look at what our current list is. We do have a current list. What specifically are you talking about?
Allendale and Sumac have been the biggest complaints. So that's the first street as you head in the subdivision off of Alice. Perceptions of speeding. There's also been some arguments of what the speed limit is in the neighborhood.
Are there not signs posted?
There is. It is posted.
That's what I thought.
He said it's 35. Oh, man, it says 30.
Plus it's residential, which is...
That's what I said.
30.
Yeah.
I will email you tomorrow.
Okay. I appreciate it.
I do have one other item. I was approached by several people in my subdivision about the possibility of a four-way stop at Pleasure and Hillcrest. I know that's Township, but is that something that we can reach out to Township people and look at the possibility of that? The problem is with... kids leaving the high school, they come through on Pleasure, and the first street right when you come in on Pleasure into our subdivision, Hillcrest there, you've got only a two-way stop, and they come flying in there, and they blow right through the stop sign, and we've almost seen several kids get hit riding their bikes around there. Quite a bit of people, a lot of elderly people in my neighborhood walk that neighborhood, and cars are constantly going up in people's yards. I guess there's been two or three incidents in the last year right there where cars have hit trees. And if you notice, if you come through there, a lot of the people right there at that intersection, they have like rebar pinned down in their front yards to keep people from driving into their yards. So that's something. Reach out.
I can reach out to, and I forget his name, but I have it in my desk. I'll reach out to him to see if he'd be willing to do that. I know in the previous Pleasure and I believe Sunset.
They did put one in there.
Yeah, he was willing. He said he would go out there, take a look at it. If he believed that it needed it, he would put up a stop sign, which he did. And so I will ask him again about, or I will ask him about Pleasure and Hillcrest to see if he'd be willing to do that. And we'll go from there.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You betcha.
Does the township do it without having to commission a traffic study and put the strips down to see what the traffic volume is, so that if they think we're going to put a stop sign up, they just hammer one in, huh?
Is it Jeff Cornels? Is that his name?
That sounds about right.
Sounds right.
I think it's Jeff. Yeah, Jeff's very old school, and Jeff just, he goes, if I believe it needs it, I'll put it up. And that's the directive that he gave me. I said, hey, any consideration would be great. This is what people are saying. From that, we just held a neighborhood meeting, and that's what they're saying. So, yes, they don't do a study. Good. I will tell you
that. So if Jeff changes his mind, he just goes and pulls
it
out.
I'm going to take it out. Yeah. We'll go put it over here.
We'll move it
out.
Yep.
Okay. Greg, if he needs help hammering them in, can we sign you up?
What's that?
If he needs help hammering them in, can we sign you up? You can be you can be Sledge Man.
I think he should be enforcing it, standing there watching.
Oh, yeah. There
because it's county. Yorkville's not going to put a guy there.
There we go.
It's county.
Nope. And wait till people start running the stop sign and stuff like that, because that's what's coming.
Yeah.
Oh, we just put Craig out there shaking his fist.
Right? Like, hold it. Well, I think that's it. Anything else for our committee meeting tonight? Well, then at 6:32, we will adjourn.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Bye, Craig.